How do you approach the selection of chemotherapy in patients with node-positive, ER-positive disease?
Yeah. So I actually fundamentally use adjuvant online. I will tell you personally, I do it in my head, and I have validated my own calculations to Peter's, so I don't go on the computer. But nonetheless, I essentially do that. And that is, I start out, and I actually have a little piece of paper for the patient, and I say, here are the odds of recurrence outside of your breast in the next 10 years if you do nothing. And I base that on nodes, and then size, and then grade, and then ERPR and HER2. And at the bottom of that piece of paper, I say, okay, here's your number. It's 20%, 25%, whatever. In your case, you gave me a node-positive patient. So I would probably estimate that her risk of recurrence is about, let's say, 50% in the next 10 years. And if she's ER-positive, I say it appears that there is somewhere between a 40 and 50% proportional reduction over the next 10 years. I base 40% because that's what the overview tells us tamoxifen is, and it looks like the aromatase inhibitors are a little more effective than that, and it looks like they squeeze out another 20%, and make a long story, mathematically, you get about 50%. And so let's take her from 50% to 25% risk of recurrence. There are two caveats to this. One is you can't exactly do the math that way. You're actually reducing the annual odds of recurrence. And just like if you have $10 and you put it in a 10% interest-bearing account at the end of 10 years, you don't have $11, you have $12 or $13. Likewise, you get reverse compound interest in effect that each year you have fewer people than you did before. So you don't exactly drop from 50 to 25%. You probably drop from 50 to 30%. I can't do that in my head either. Peter can do that for you, by the way, in Adjuvant Online. But I'm pretty close. And so you have to discount it a bit. And then you say, now, because you're ER positive, chemotherapy probably works a little less well than if you were ER negative. I would say it's probably about a 20% proportional reduction, about a fifth. And I don't think that's far off. Maybe even less than that, frankly, in an older woman. And that's because you don't get the chemotherapy effects on ovarian function that you see in premenopausal women that also contribute to the effects of chemotherapy in an ER-positive patient in premenopausal women. So let's actually take it to 15 to 20% proportional reduction. If I have her at 30% risk of recurrence after hormone therapy, 20% of 30 is 6. Let's round that off to 5. And so she goes from a 30% to a 25%. Now I think we have to bring in the comorbid issues and the risk of competing mortalities. And I think this is what I can't do in my head very well, but I think Adjuvant Online would tell you that a 75-year-old woman, and let's give her one comorbid illness, has about a 25% chance of a competing mortality. So we take that 5% absolute benefit and discount it by a quarter. So now we're down to about a 3% absolute benefit. And I look that lady in the eye and say, is the 3 to 6 months worth of side effects and the potential 0.5% to 1% risk of life-threatening mortality worth the 2 to 3% improvement in disease-free survival for you over the next 10 years? And if she says yes, I say okay. And if she says no, I say I think that's a perfectly reasonable decision on your part.
And if the patient says yes, what kind of regimens would you be considering?
I stick with basically the intergroup backbone. We are an intergroup center, and it is easier for us and avoids mistakes if we all try to treat our patients in a consistent manner. We're a big clinic. We've got 7 or 8 medical oncologists seeing breast cancer folks. And the reason I say all that is because in a private practice, you might vary a little bit. But in our practice, we try to be as consistent as we can to avoid just silly errors in transcription and that sort of thing. So if a pharmacist sees something nutty, they call us and say, this is nutty, and we either say, oh my goodness, we've made a mistake, or we say, yeah, I meant to do that. And that works pretty well. So having said that, we tend to use AC times 4, followed by paclitaxel times 4. We try to give it in a dose-dense fashion. There are exceptions to that. So let's go back to this 75-year-old woman. Probably AC times 4 gives her a 3% benefit, and the added Taxol is another 1%. Does she want to do that or not? And this is where I think patient decision-making is helpful. Let's say that we start out with a single positive node. That's where I got that 50%. I frankly find that hard to recommend to that lady, but she might want to do it. Let's give her 10 positive nodes. Then we start over at 75%. I think the number's roughly increased by a third all the way, and now we're talking maybe a 4 to 5% benefit from the AC and a 2 to 3% benefit from the Taxol. I think that begins to be worthwhile if she's otherwise healthy. Let's make her ER negative. Then I'm sure it's worthwhile because we've taken away all the benefit from the hormone therapy and we've increased the proportional reduction from the chemotherapy, and the numbers get to be 10 to 15% there.